is Pope Benedict XVI still the Pope? And Jorge Bergoglio, also known as Pope Francis, an anti-pope? When I first heard this claim several years ago, I thought it was ridiculous. Benedict himself said it wasn't true. Case closed, right? Not so fast. Let me say up front, I accept that Francis is the Pope, and that will likely stay my opinion unless the Church says otherwise or something drastic comes to light. Yet still, there's something in the back of my mind that says something's not right here. So I looked into this claim, and I have to say there is credible evidence to the contrary, and that Benedict may still be the Pope, whether he knows it or not. First, let's look at the Code of Canon Law, which is the law that governs the Church, and no one is above it, including the Pope. Canon 331 says, "The bishop of the Roman Church, in whom continues the office," and the Latin word used here is munus, for office, "given by the Lord uniquely to Peter, the first of the apostles, and to be transmitted to his successors, is the head of the College of Bishops, the Vicar of Christ, and the pastor of the universal church on earth. By virtue of his office," again, munus is used, "he possesses supreme, full, immediate, and universal ordinary power in the church, which he is always able to exercise freely." Canon 332, Part 2 of the Code of Canon Law says, "If it happens that the Roman pontiff resigns his office," again, munus is used here, "it is required for validity that the resignation is made freely and properly manifested, but not that it is accepted by anyone." So it is by virtue of the office, or in Latin, munus, that the Pope receives his authority, and Canon 332, Part 2 says, "If it happens that the Roman pontiff resigns his office," again, the word is munus. So the key word here is munus, or office. Now let's look at the Declaratio, or the resignation letter, of Pope Benedict. Now, I'm going to read the English version, but keep in mind that the English version is irrelevant, and it is the Latin that is authoritative. So I'm going to use the Latin word in the part that is relevant. So it says in part, "My strengths, due to an advanced age, are no longer suited to an adequate exercise of the Petrine office." Munus is what's used here. "I am well aware that this office," again, munus is used, "due to its essential spiritual nature, must be carried out not only with words and deeds, but no less with prayer and suffering." Then later he says, "In order to govern the bark of St. Peter and proclaim the gospel, both strength of mind and body are necessary, strength which in the last few months has deteriorated in me to the extent that I have had to recognize my incapacity to adequately fulfill the ministry," and the word used here is ministerium, "entrusted to me. For this reason, and well aware of the seriousness of this act, with full freedom I declare that I renounce the ministry," and the Latin word used here is ministerio, "of the Bishop of Rome." The argument goes like this. The Code of Canon Law says munus, or office, both in describing the papacy and in resigning the papacy. Benedict recognizes that the papacy is a munus, or office, in the first part of the Declaratio. But when it gets to what he is resigning, he doesn't say munus. He says he can't fulfill the ministry or ministerium, so he is resigning the ministerio or ministry. Therefore, the resignation is invalid for two reasons. One, Canon 332, Part 2 says that he must resign the office or munus, but he resigned the ministry or ministerio. And two, since he only resigned the ministry and not the office, his intent was only to resign the active or administrative part of the papacy, but retain at least some of the spiritual part of the papacy for himself. This is evident, they say, in the fact that he still goes by Pope Benedict and did not return to being called Cardinal Ratzinger. He still dresses like a pope rather than going back to wearing the clothes of a cardinal. He gives the apostolic blessing in his own name, and his official title is still Your Holiness. Now, only one man can be the Pope, and he alone possesses all that comes with being a Pope. If Pope Benedict only resigned certain aspects of the papacy, retaining others for himself, or thought he would still hold some aspects of the papacy after resigning for any reason, then that is substantial error, which according to canon law invalidates the resignation. Canon 188, a resignation made out of grave fear that is inflicted unjustly or out of malice, substantial error, or simony is invalid by the law itself. Evidence that Benedict did not intend to fully resign or feels that he retained some aspects of the papacy can be found in statements that he and others have made. In his last general audience, February 27, 2013, Pope Benedict said, "The always is also a forever. There can no longer be a return to the private sphere. My decision to resign the active exercise of the ministry does not revoke this. I do not return to private life, to a life of travel, meetings, receptions, and conferences, and so on. I'm not abandoning the cross, but remain in a new way at the side of the crucified Lord. I no longer bear the power of office for the governance of the church, but in the service of prayer, I remain, so to speak, in the enclosure of St. Peter." His personal secretary, Archbishop Ganswang, prefect of the pontifical household, said about Pope Benedict, according to the National Catholic Register, "He left the papal throne, and yet, with a step he took on 11 February 2013, he has not abandoned this ministry, quite impossible, after his irrevocable acceptance of the office in April 2005. And there are not two popes, but de facto an expanded ministry, with an active member and a contemplative member. Therefore, he has also not retired to a monastery in isolation, but stays within the Vatican, as if he had taken only one step to the side to make room for his successor and a new stage in the history of the papacy, his prayer and his compassion placed in the Vatican gardens. This is unheard of in the past. Other popes who resigned went back to their old position, name, and dress, and never believed they were kind of pope or retained certain aspects of the papacy, which, of course, cannot be the case. He also seems to think that he can never really resign as pope. Once pope, always pope. Of course, this is incorrect, which again would be substantial error." Those who accept the resignation of Benedict as valid and accept Pope Francis as valid, which is the majority opinion, by the way, say the actions and statements of Benedict are irrelevant. The only thing that really matters is his resignation letter itself, and that there is no substantial difference between munus and ministerio or ministerium. They are practically interchangeable. Now, again, I fall into the Francis is Pope camp, but I do see the claim that Benedict is still Pope as a real possibility. Canon 188 says, if it happens that the Roman Pontiff resigns his office, and the Latin word used here is munus, not ministerium or ministerio. In the Declaratio itself, Benedict uses munus in describing the papacy, but uses ministerio for what he is resigning. He seems to be making a distinction between the two. Otherwise, why did he not use ministerio throughout the document? His words and actions do speak to his mindset at the time of his resignation and are therefore relevant. And it seems that he thinks he's still kind of pope, which, if so, introduces substantial error and therefore invalidates the resignation. Either he resigned all of the papacy or he resigned none of it. But if Benedict is still pope, which I think is a reasonable position, and Francis is an anti-pope, then the prophecy given by St. Francis of Assisi comes to mind, where he says, "At the time of this tribulation, a man not canonically elected will be raised to the pontificate, who, by his cunning, will endeavor to draw many into error and death. Then scandals will be multiplied, our order will be divided, and many others will be entirely destroyed because they will consent to error instead of opposing it." Is Francis the destroyer prophesied by St. Francis? I'm also reminded of the prophecies of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who spoke of a false church emerging alongside the true church. Is Benedict the true pope of the true church and Francis the false pope of the false church? Isn't it interesting that Jorge Bergoglio took the name of Francis and Benedict approved the visions of Emmerich? Was he trying to tell us something? If Jorge Bergoglio or Pope Francis isn't the pope but an anti-pope, it would explain a lot of his behavior with statements such as "God wills the different religions," and leading worship of the false god Pachamama at the Amazon Synod in the Vatican. If Francis is not really pope, then he doesn't have the protection from error that comes with the office. So with all of this, why do I still recognize Francis as pope? Because although the argument that Benedict XVI is still pope is convincing, it could be wrong. And I think the default position is Francis is the pope in full. So that's the position I take. I'm a layman. It's not my place to say. God will sort all of this out and he doesn't need my help. To say there's this and this and according to my research, it's clear that this is the case, Therefore, I'm at the Church of Benedict or the Church of Francis, is Protestant thinking. Protestants think they have to figure everything out. We need to just go to Mass, go to confession, pray the rosary, work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and let God sort all this out. Until my next video, God bless.